But the sin bearing, you think about what sin is, it's the transgression of the soul. It's not just what we do, it's who we are. And our Lord Jesus Christ suffered the guilt. He didn't become a sinner. There wasn't sin put in him. Here Isaiah says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's like in the Old Testament by those high priests putting their hand on that blameless lamb did not make the lamb now sinful. There was a transference of guilt that lamb should die in the place of those that the lamb represented. So he shall see the travail of his soul in verse 11. God the Father see the travail of the soul and shall be satisfied. There was satisfaction to be had by a holy God. Now here's the good news for any for whom Christ paid the debt, because when he finished the work, it was finished. That's good news to a sinner. If in any part this depended upon me to complete, like you hear people preaching today, well, Christ laid the down payment, and now it's up to you to finish it. You have to do this, you have to do that. Thankfully, it's not so. Even if the Lord would say, I've done everything I can, now it's up to you to believe, there would be no salvation.
Who determines it? You know, our life is but a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. How quickly things change. We just assume that everything's going to continue on. You know, we've got our plans for tomorrow, but nothing guarantees that we're going to see the morning. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say. You know, ought is an italic, but it's implied. It's almost, it's not just ought. For say this is the way it's stated. You want something to say, say this. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You know, and everything that we do, we submit all things to his direction and judgment. All of your worrying, all of your thinking about is not going to add one cubit to your measure. Again, that's a lesson difficult to learn, because we lay awake at night, and I do think about things. I need to hear this, you know, as much as anybody, that if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. The church business meeting's called, and so-and-so will be put under discipline for 6 months. I sadly was part of congregations like that. And I always, even at that time, wondered, what determines whether it's 6 months, 9 months, or a year? There was always a period that kind of was relatively drawn up as to how long this person could not partake of any of the fellowship meals, could not partake of the Lord's table. They could come sit in the back if they wanted to, but no one was to invite them to their houses. These were just general rules that were set down. The person was isolated. After 6 months, they showed up, met before the committee again. It's like a parole board. If the committee decides that, yes, we'll take you back into fellowship, it was presented at the next church business meeting, and behold, now he's a brother again. I don't see any type of practice like that in the scriptures. Now, does that mean that there's no place for discipline in the church? Well, certainly, as we read different portions of scripture, just like this one that we read here, we understand that we do have a responsibility toward those that are within our midst, if any walk disorderly, as it says there, to deal with such, but in an orderly manner, and in a loving manner, and in a gracious manner.